This is Audible.
Audible Inc. presents Perfect Chemistry, written by Simone Elkeles, narrated by Roxanne Hernandez and Blas Kisic. One, Brittany. Everyone knows I'm perfect. My life is perfect. My clothes are perfect. Even my family is perfect. And although it's a complete lie, I've worked my butt off to keep up the appearance that I have it all. The truth, if it were to come out, would destroy my entire picture-perfect image. Standing in front of my bathroom mirror while music blares from my speakers, I wipe away the third crooked line I've drawn beneath my eye. My hands are shaking, damn it. Starting senior year of high school and seeing my boyfriend after a summer apart shouldn't be so nerve-wracking, but I've gotten off to a disastrous start. First, my curling iron sent up smoke signals and died. Then, the button on my favorite shirt popped off. Now my eyeliner decides it has a mind of its own. If I had any choice in the matter, I'd stay in my comfy bed and eat warm chocolate chip cookies all day. "Britt, come down!" I faintly hear my mom yelling from the foyer. My first instinct is to ignore her, but that never gets me anything but arguments, headaches, and more yelling. "I'll be there in a sec," I call down, hoping I can get this eyeliner to go on straight and be done with it. Finally getting it right, I toss the eyeliner tube on the counter, double and triple check myself in the mirror, turn off my stereo, and hurry down the hallway. My mom is standing at the bottom of our grand staircase, scanning my outfit. I straighten. I know, I'm 18 and I shouldn't care what my mom thinks, but you haven't lived in the Ellis house. My mom has anxiety, not the kind easily controlled with little blue pills. And when my mom is stressed, everyone living with her suffers. I think that's why my dad goes to work before she gets up in the morning, so he doesn't have to deal with, well, her. "Hate the pants, love the belt," Mom says, pointing her index finger at each item. "And that noise you call music was giving me a headache. Thank goodness it's off." "Good morning to you too, Mother," I say before walking down the stairs and giving her a peck on the cheek. The smell of my mom's strong perfume stings my nostrils the closer I get. She already looks like a million bucks in her Ralph Lauren blue label tennis dress. No one can point a finger and criticize her outfit, that's for sure. "I bought your favorite muffin for the first day of school," Mom says, pulling out a bag from behind her back. "No thanks," I say, looking around for my sister. "Where's Shelley?"
"In the kitchen."
"Is her new caretaker here yet?"
"Her name is Bagda, and no, she's coming in an hour."
"Did you tell her wool irritates Shelley's skin, and that she pulls hair?" She's always let it be known in her nonverbal cues she gets irritated by the feeling of wool on her skin. Pulling hair is her new thing, and it has caused a few disasters. Disasters in my house are about as pretty as a car wreck, so avoiding them is crucial.
"Yes and yes. I gave your sister an earful this morning, Brittany. If she keeps acting up, we'll find ourselves out of another caretaker."
I walk into the kitchen, not wanting to hear my mother go on and on about her theories of why Shelley lashes out. Shelley is sitting at the table in her wheelchair, busily eating her specially blended food because, even at the age of 20, my sister doesn't have the ability to chew and swallow like people without her physical limitations. As usual, the food has found its way onto her chin, lips, and cheeks. "Hey, Shelbel," I say, leaning over her and wiping her face with a napkin. "It's the first day of school. Wish me luck." Shelley holds jerky arms out and gives me a lopsided smile. I love that smile.
You want to give me a hug? I ask her, knowing she does. The doctors always tell us the more interaction Shelley gets, the better off she'll be. Shelley nods. I fold myself in her arms, careful to keep her hands away from my hair. When I straighten, my mom gasps. It sounds to me like a referee's whistle, halting my life. Britt, you can't go to school like that!
Like what?
She shakes her head and sighs in frustration. Look at your shirt! Glancing down, I see a large wet spot on the front of my white Calvin Klein shirt. Oops, Shelley's drool. One look at my sister's drawn face tells me what she can't easily put into words. Shelley is sorry. Shelley didn't mean to mess up my outfit. It's no biggie, I tell her, although in the back of my mind I know it screws up my perfect look. Frowning, my mom wets a paper towel at the sink and dabs at the spot. It makes me feel like a 2-year-old. Go upstairs and change. Mom, it was just peaches, I say, treading carefully so this doesn't turn into a full-blown yelling match. The last thing I want to do is make my sister feel bad. Peaches stain. You don't want people thinking you don't care about your appearance. Fine. I wish this was one of my mom's good days, the days she doesn't bug me about stuff. I give my sister a kiss on the top of her head, making sure she doesn't think her drool bothers me in the least. I'll see you after school, I say, attempting to keep the morning cheerful, to finish our checker tournament. I run back up the stairs, taking 2 steps at a time. When I get to my bedroom, I check my watch. Oh, no, it's 7:10. My best friend Sierra is going to freak out if I'm late picking her up. Grabbing a light blue scarf out of my closet, I pray it'll work. Maybe nobody will notice the drool spot if I tie it just right. When I come back down the stairs, my mother is standing in the foyer, scanning my appearance again. Love the scarf. Phew. As I pass her, she shoves the muffin into my hand. Eat it on the way. I take the muffin. Walking to my car, I absently bite into it. Unfortunately, it isn't blueberry, my favorite. It's banana nut, and the bananas are overdone. It reminds me of myself. Seemingly perfect on the outside, but the inside is all mush.
Two. Alex.
Get up, Alex!
I scowl at my little brother and bury my head under my pillow. Since I share a room with my 11 and 15-year-old brothers, there's no escape except the little privacy a lone pillow can give. Leave me alone, Luis, I say roughly through the pillow. No estés chingando. I'm not fucking with you. Mama told me to wake you up so you won't be late for school. Senior year. I should be proud. I'll be the first family member in the Fuentes household to graduate high school. But after graduation, real life will start. College is just a dream. Senior year for me is like a retirement party for a 65-year-old. You know you can do more, but everyone expects you to quit.
I'm all dressed up in my new clothes.
Luisa's proud but muffled voice comes through the pillow.
The nenas won't be able to resist this Latino stud.
Good for you, I mumble.
Mama said I should pour this pitcher of water on you if you don't get up.
Was privacy too much to ask for? I take my pillow and chuck it across the room. It's a direct hit. The water splashes all over him.
Culero!
He screams at me.
These are the only new clothes I got!
A fit of laughter is coming through the bedroom door. Carlos, my other brother, is laughing like a freaking hyena. That is, until Luis jumps him. I watch the fight spiral out of control as my younger brothers punch and kick each other. They're good fighters, I think proudly as I watch them duke it out. But as the oldest male in the house, it's my duty to break it up. I grab the collar of Carlos's shirt, but trip on Luis's leg and land on the floor with them. Before I can regain my balance, icy cold water is poured on my back. Turning quickly, I catch mi ama, dousing us all, a bucket poised in her fist above us while she's wearing her work uniform. She works as a checker for the local grocery store a couple blocks from our house. It doesn't pay a whole heck of a lot, but we don't need much.
Get up,
she orders, her fiery attitude out in full force.
Shit, ma,
Carla says, standing. Mama takes what's left in her bucket, sticks her fingers in the icy water, and flicks the liquid in Carlos's face. Luis laughs, and before he knows it, he gets flicked with water as well. Will they ever learn?
Any more attitude, Luis?
She asks.
No, ma'am,
Luis says, standing as straight as a soldier.
You have any more filthy words to come out of that boca of yours, Carlos?
She dips her hand in the water as a warning.
No, ma'am,
echoes soldier number two.
And what about you, Alejandro?
Her eyes narrow into slits as she focuses on me.
What? I was trying to break it up,
I say innocently, giving her my you-can't-resist-me smile. She flicks water in my face.
That's for not breaking it up sooner. Now get dressed, all of you, and come eat breakfast before school.
So much for my you-can't-resist-me smile.
You know you love us,
I call after her as she leaves our room. After a quick shower, I walk back to my bedroom with a towel wrapped around my waist. I catch sight of Luis with one of my bandanas on his head, and my gut tightens. I yank it off him.
Don't ever touch this, Luis.
Why not? He asks, his deep brown eyes all innocent. To Luis, it's a bandana. To me, it's a symbol of what is and will never be. How the hell am I supposed to explain it to an 11-year-old kid? He knows what I am. It's no secret the bandana has the Latino blood colors on it. Payback and revenge got me in, and now there's no way out. But I'll die before I let one of my brothers get sucked in. I ball the bandana in my fist. Luis, don't touch my shit, especially my blood stuff.
I like red and black.
That's the last thing I need to hear.
If I ever catch you wearing it again, you'll be sporting black and blue, I tell him.
Got it, little brother? He shrugs.
Yeah, I got it.
As he leaves the room with a spring in his step, I wonder if he really does get it. I stop myself from thinking too hard about it as I grab a black t-shirt from my dresser and pull on worn faded jeans. When I tie my bandana around my head, I hear mi mamá's voice bellowing from the kitchen.
Alejandro, come eat before the food gets cold. Deprisa, hurry up!
I'm coming, I call back. I'll never understand why food is such an important part of her life. My brothers are already busy chowing down on their breakfast when I enter the kitchen. I open the refrigerator and scan its contents.
Sit down.
Ma, I'll just grab...
You'll grab nothing, Alejandro. Sit. We're a family and we're going to eat like one.
I sigh, close the refrigerator door, and sit beside Carlos. Sometimes being a member of a close family has its disadvantages. Mi mamá places a heaping plate of huevos and tortillas in front of me.
Why can't you call me Alex?
I ask, my head down while I stare at the food in front of me.
If I wanted to call you Alex, I wouldn't have bothered to name you Alejandro. Don't you like your given name?
My muscles tense. I was named after a father who is no longer alive, leaving me the responsibility of being the designated man of the house. Alejandro? Alejandro Jr.? Jr. It's all the same to me. Would it matter? I mumble as I pick up a tortilla. I look up, trying to gauge her reaction. Her back is to me as she cleans dishes in the sink.
No. Alex wants to pretend he's white.
Carlos chimes in.
You can change your name, bro, but nobody'd mistake you for anything other than Mexicano.
Carlos, cállate la boca, I warn. I don't want to be white. I just don't want to be associated with my father.
Por favor, you too,
our mother pleads.
Enough fighting for one day. Mojado,
Carlos sings, egging me on by calling me a wetback. I've had enough of Carlos's mouth. He's gone too far. I stand, my chair scraping the floor. Carlos follows and steps in front of me, closing the space between us. He knows I could kick his ass. His overblown ego is gonna get him in trouble with the wrong person one of these days.
Carlos, sit down,
mi mamá orders.
Dirty beaner,
Carlos drawls at me in a fake deep accent.
Better yet, es un ganguero. Carlos!
Mi mamá reprimands sharply as she comes forward. But I get in between them and grab my brother's collar. Yeah, that's all anyone will ever think of me, I tell him. But you keep talking trash and they'll think that of you too.
Brother, they'll think that of me anyway, whether I want them to or not.
I release him.
You're wrong, Carlos. You can do better. Be better.
Than you?
Yeah, better than me, and you know it, I say. Now apologize to mi mamá for talking smack in front of her. One look in my eyes, and Carlos knows I'm not kidding around. Sorry, Ma, he says, then sits back down. I don't miss his glare, though, as his ego got knocked down a peg. Mi mamá turns and opens the fridge, trying to hide her tears. Damn it, she's worried about Carlos. He's a sophomore, and the next 2 years are either going to make him or break him. I pull on my black leather jacket, needing to get out of here. I give mi mamá a peck on the cheek with an apology for ruining her breakfast, then walk outside wondering how I'm going to keep Carlos and Luis away from my path while steering them toward a better one. Ugh, the fucking irony of it all. On the street, guys in the same color bandanas flag the Latino blood signal, right hand tapping twice on their left arm while their ring finger is bent. My veins fire up as I flag right back before straddling my motorcycle. They want a tough-as-nails gang member. They got one. I put on a hell of a show to the outside world. Sometimes I even surprise myself.
Alex, wait up!
A familiar female voice calls out. Carmen Sanchez, my neighbor and ex-girlfriend, runs up to me.
Hey, Carmen, I mutter.
How about giving me a ride to school?
Her short black skirt shows off her incredible legs, and her shirt is tight, accentuating her small but perky chichis. Once I would have done anything for her, but that was before I caught her in another guy's bed over the summer, or car, as it was.
Come on, Alex, I promise not to bite, unless you want me to.
Carmen is my Latino blood homegirl. Whether we're a couple or not, we still have each other's backs. It's the code we live by. Get on, I say. Carmen hops on my motorcycle and deliberately places her hands on my thighs while pressing against my backside. It doesn't have the effect she was probably hoping for. What does she think, that I'll forget the past? No way. My history defines who I am. I try to focus on starting my senior year at Fairfield, the here and now. It's damn difficult because, unfortunately, after graduation, my future will likely be as screwed up as my past.
Three. Brittany.
My hair gets all frizzy in this car, Sierra. Every time I put the top down, my hair looks like I've walked through a tornado, I say to my best friend as I drive on Vine Street toward Fairfield High in my new silver convertible. Outward appearances mean everything. My parents taught me the motto that rules my life. It's the sole reason I didn't comment about the BMW when my dad gave me the extravagant birthday present 2 weeks ago. We live a half hour from the Windy City, Sierra says, holding her hand in the wind as we drive. Chicago isn't exactly known for its calm weather. Besides, you look like a blonde Grecian goddess with wild hair, Britt. You're just nervous about seeing Colin again. My gaze wanders to the heart-shaped picture of me and Colin taped to my dashboard. A summer apart changes people. Distance makes the heart grow fonder, Sierra throws back. You're the captain of the Palm Squad, and he's captain of the varsity football team. You two have to date, or the solar system would go out of alignment. Colin called a few times during the summer from his family's cabin, where he was hanging out with his buddies, but I don't know where our relationship stands now. He just got back last night. I love those jeans, Sierra says, eyeing my faded Brazilian pants. I'll be borrowing them before you know it. My mom hates them, I tell her, smoothing my hair at a stoplight, trying to tame my blonde frizzies. She says it looks like I got them at a used clothing store. Did you tell her vintage is in? Yeah, like she'd even listen. She was hardly paying attention when I asked her about the new caretaker. No one understands what it's like at my house. Luckily, I have Sierra. She might not understand, but she knows enough to listen and keep my home life confidential. Besides Colin, Sierra is the only one who's met my sister. Sierra flips open my CD case. What happened to the last caretaker? Shelly pulled a chunk of her hair out. Ouch!
I drive into the high school parking lot with my mind more on my sister than on the road. My wheels screech to a stop when I almost hit a guy and a girl on a motorcycle. I thought it was an empty parking space.
Watch it, bitch.
Carmen Sanchez, the girl on the back of the motorcycle, says as she flips me the finger. She obviously missed the road rage lecture in driver's ed.
Sorry, I say loudly so I can be heard over the roar of the motorcycle. It didn't look like anyone was in this spot.
Then I realize whose motorcycle I almost hit. The driver turns around. Angry, dark eyes. Red and black bandana. I sink down into the driver's seat as far as I can.
Oh, shit, it's Alex Fuentes, I say, wincing. Jesus, Britt, Sierra says, her voice low. I'd like to live to see graduation. Get out of here before he decides to kill us both.
Alex is staring at me with his devil eyes while putting the kickstand down on his motorcycle. Is he going to confront me? I search for reverse, frantically moving the stick back and forth. Of course, it's no surprise my dad bought me a car with a stick shift without taking the time to teach me how to master driving the thing. Alex takes a step toward my car. My instincts tell me to abandon the car and flee, as if I was stuck on railroad tracks with a train heading straight for me. I glance at Sierra, who's desperately searching through her purse for something. Is she kidding me?
I can't get this damn car in reverse. I need help. What are you looking for? I ask.
Like, nothing. I'm trying not to make eye contact with those Latino bloods. Get a move on, will ya?
Sierra responds through gritted teeth.
Besides, I only know how to drive an automatic.
Finally, grinding into reverse, my wheels screech loud and hard as I maneuver backward and search for another parking spot. After parking in the west lot, far from a certain gang member with a reputation that could scare off even the toughest Fairfield football players, Sierra and I walk up the front steps of Fairfield High. Unfortunately, Alex Fuentes and the rest of his gang friends are hanging by the front doors.
Walk right past them, Sierra mutters. Whatever you do, don't look in their eyes.
It's pretty hard not to when Alex Fuentes steps right in front of me and blocks my path. What's the prayer you're supposed to say right before you know you're gonna die?
You're a lousy driver,
Alex says, with his slight Latino accent and full-blown, I am the man stance. The guy might look like an Abercrombie model with his ripped bod and flawless face, but his picture is more likely to be taken for a mugshot. The kids from the north side don't really mix with kids from the south side. It's not that we think we're better than them. We're just different. We've grown up in the same town, but on totally opposite sides. We live in big houses on Lake Michigan, and they live next to the train tracks. We look, talk, act, and dress different. I'm not saying it's good or bad. It's just the way it is in Fairfield. And to be honest, most of the Southside girls treat me like Carmen Sanchez does. They hate me because of who I am. Or rather, who they think I am. Alex's gaze slowly moves down my body, traveling the length of me before moving back up. It's not the first time a guy has checked me out. It's just that I never had a guy like Alex do it so blatantly, and so up close. I can feel my face getting hot.
Next time, watch where you're going, he says, his voice cool and controlled. He's trying to bully me. He's a pro at this. I won't let him get to me and win his little game of intimidation, even if my stomach feels like I'm doing 100 cartwheels in a row. I square my shoulders and sneer at him, the same sneer I use to push people away.
Thanks for the tip.
If you ever need a real man to teach you how to drive, I can give you lessons.
Catcalls and whistles from his buddies set my blood boiling. If you were a real man, you'd open the door for me instead of blocking my way, I say, admiring my own comeback even as my knees threaten to buckle. Alex steps back,
pulls the door open and bows like he's my butler. He's totally mocking me. He knows it, and I know it. Everyone knows it. I catch a glimpse of Sierra, still desperately searching for nothing in her purse. She's clueless. Get a life, I tell him.
Like yours? Cabrona, let me tell you something, Alex says harshly. Your life isn't reality. It's fake, just like you.
It's better than living my life as a loser, I lash out, hoping my words sting as much as his words did. Just like you. Grabbing Sierra's arm, I pull her toward the open door. Catcalls and comments follow us as we walk into the school. I finally let out the breath I must have been holding, then turn to Sierra. My best friend is staring at me all bug-eyed.
Holy shit, Britt! You got a death wish or something?
What gives Alex Fuentes the right to bully everyone in his path?
Maybe the gun he has hidden in his pants, or the gang colors he wears?
Sierra says, sarcasm dripping from every word. He's not stupid enough to carry a gun to school, I reason. And I refuse to be bullied by him or anyone else. At school, at least. School is the one place I can keep up my perfect facade. Everyone at school buys it. Suddenly pumped about starting my last year at Fairfield, I shake Sierra's shoulders.
We're seniors now,
I say with the same enthusiasm I use for pom-pom routines during football games.
So?
So, starting right now, everything is going to be P-E-R-F-E-C-T. The bell rings, which is not exactly a bell because the student body voted last year to replace bells with music between classes. Right now they're playing Summer Lovin' from Greece. Sierra starts walking down the hall.
I'll make sure you have a P-E-R-F-E-C-T funeral with flowers and everything.
Who died? A voice from behind me asks. I turn around. It's Colin. Blonde hair bleached from the summer sun, and a grin so large it takes up almost his whole face. I wish I had a mirror to see if my makeup is smudged, but surely Colin will date me even if it is, won't he? I run up and give him the biggest hug. He holds me tight, kisses me lightly on the lips, and pulls back.
Who died? He asks again.
Nobody, I answer. Forget about it. Forget everything except being with me.
It's easy when you look so damn hot.
Colin kisses me again.
Sorry I haven't called. It's been so crazy, unpacking and everything.
I smile up at him, glad our summer apart hasn't changed our relationship. The solar system is safe, at least for now. Colin drapes his arm around my shoulders as the front doors to the school open. Alex and his friends burst through as if they're here to hijack the school.
Why do they even come to school?
Colin mutters low, so only I can hear.
Half of them will probably drop out before the year is over anyway.
My gaze briefly meets Alex's, and a shiver runs down my spine. I almost hit Alex Fuentes's motorcycle this morning, I tell Colin once Alex is out of hearing range.
You should have.
Colin, I chide.
At least it would have been an exciting first day. This school is boring as shit.
Boring? I almost got in a car accident, was flipped off by a girl from the south side, and was harassed by a dangerous gang member outside the school's front doors. If that was any indication of the rest of senior year, this school will be anything but boring.
Four. Alex. I knew I'd be called into the new principal's office at some point during the year, but I didn't expect it to be on the first day of school. I heard Dr. Aguirre was hired because of his hard-ass personality at some high school in Milwaukee. Someone must have pegged me as a ringleader, because it's my ass sitting here, instead of another Latino bloods. So here I am, pulled out of gym so Aguirre can puff up his chest and ramble on about tougher school rules. I detect him feeling me out, wondering how I'll react as he threatens me. And this year, I've hired two full-time armed security guards, Alejandro. His eyes focus on me, trying to intimidate. Yeah, right. I can tell right off that while Aguirre might be Latino, he knows nothing about how our streets work. The next thing I know, he'll be talking about how he grew up poor, just like me. He's probably never even driven through my side of town. Maybe I should offer to give him a tour. He stands in front of me. I promised the superintendent, as well as the school board, I'd personally be responsible for rooting out the violence that has plagued this school for years. I won't hesitate to suspend anyone who ignores school rules. I haven't done anything besides have a little fun with the pom-pom diva, and already this guy's talking suspension. Maybe he heard about my suspension last year. That little incident got me kicked out for 3 days. It wasn't my fault, entirely. Paco had this crazy theory about cold water affecting white guys' dicks differently than Latinos. I was arguing with him in the boiler room after he'd shut down the hot water heaters when we were caught. I had nothing to do with it, but got blamed all the same. Paco attempted to tell the truth, but our old principal wouldn't listen. Maybe if I fought more, he would have listened. But what's the use in fighting for a lost cause? It's clear Brittany Ellis is responsible for me being in here today. You think her jerk of a boyfriend will ever get called into Aguirre's office? No way! The dude is an idolized football player. He can ditch class and start fights, and Aguirre will probably still kiss his ass. Colin Adams is always pushing me, knowing he can get away with it. Every time I've been about to retaliate, he's found a way to escape or rush to where teachers were in abundance. Teachers who were just waiting for me to fuck up. One of these days. I look up at Aguirre. I'm not starting any fights. I might finish one, though. That's good, Aguirre says. But I heard about you harassing a female student in the parking lot today. Almost getting run over by Brittany Ellis's shiny new Beamer is my fault? For the past 3 years, I've managed to avoid the rich bitch. I heard last year she got a C on her report card, but a little call to the school from her parents got it changed to an A. It would hurt her chances of getting into a good college. Screw that shit. If I got a C, Miama would smack me upside the head and nag me to study twice as hard. I've worked my ass off to get good grades, even though I've gotten interrogated more often than not about my means of getting the answers. As if I'd cheat. It's not about getting into college. It's about proving I could get in, if my world was different. The Southsiders might be seen as dumber than the Northsiders, but that's bullshit. So we're not as rich or obsessed with material possessions or getting into the most expensive and prestigious universities. We are in survival mode most of the time, always having to watch our backs. Probably the hardest part of Brittany Ellis's life is deciding which restaurant to dine at each night. The girl uses her smoking bot to manipulate everyone who comes in contact with her. Care to share with me what happened in the parking lot? I'd like to hear your side, Aguirre says. Not happening. I learned long ago that my side doesn't matter. The thing this morning? Total misunderstanding, I tell him. Brittany Ellis's misunderstanding that two vehicles can't fit in one spot. Aguirre stands and leans over his polished, spotless desk. Let's try not making misunderstandings a habit, okay, Alejandro? Alex. Huh? I go by Alex, I say. What he knows about me is in my school file, a file so biased, it's probably 10 inches thick. Aguirre gives me a nod. All right, Alex. Get ready for sixth period. But I have eyes at this school, and I'm watching your every move. I don't want to see you back in my office. Just as I get up, he puts a hand on my shoulder. Just so you know, my goal is for every student in this school to succeed. Every student, Alex. Including you. So whatever biases you have about me, you can throw them out the window. ¿Me entiendes? Sí, entiendo. I say, wondering how much I can believe him. In the hallway, a sea of students are rushing to their next class. I have no clue where I'm supposed to be, and I'm still in my gym clothes. In the locker room after I change, a song plays on the loudspeaker, indicating it's now sixth period. I pull the schedule out of my back pocket. Chemistry, with Mrs. Peterson. Great. Another hard ass to deal with.
Five. Brittany. I turn on my cell and call home before chemistry to see how my sister is doing. Bogda isn't too happy because Shelley was freaking out about the way her lunch tasted. Apparently, Shelley swiped her bowl of yogurt onto the floor in protest. Was it too much to hope that my mom would take a day off from hanging out at the country club to transition Bogda? Summer is officially over, and I can't be there to pick up where the caretakers usually leave off. I should be focusing on school. Getting into my dad's alma mater, Northwestern, is my main goal, so I can go to a college close to home and be there for my sister. After giving Bogda some suggestions, I take a deep breath, paste on a smile, and walk into class.
Hey, babe. I saved you a seat.
Colin motions to the stool next to him. The room is arranged with rows of high lab tables for two. This means I'll sit next to Colin for the rest of the year, and we'll do the dreaded senior chemistry project together. Feeling foolish for thinking things wouldn't be okay between us, I slip onto the stool and pull out my heavy chem book.
Hey, look! Fuentes is in our class!
A guy calls out from the back of the room.
Alex, over here! Ven pa' acá!
I try not to stare as Alex greets his friends with pats on the back and handshakes too complicated to reproduce. They all say, essay, to each other, whatever that means. Alex's presence catches every eye in the classroom.
I hear he was arrested last weekend for possession of meth,
Colin whispers to me.
No way!
He nods and his eyebrows go up.
Way!
Well, the information shouldn't surprise me. I hear most weekends Alex spends drugged out, passed out, or doing some other illegal activity. Mrs. Peterson closes the door to the classroom with a bang, and all eyes move from the back of the room, where Alex and his friends are sitting, to the front, where Mrs. Peterson is standing. She has light brown hair pulled back into a tight ponytail. The woman is probably in her late 20s, but her glasses and perpetual stern expression make her look way older. I hear she's tough now because her first year teaching, the students made her cry. They didn't respect a teacher who was young enough to be their older sister.
Good afternoon, and welcome to senior chemistry.
She sits on the edge of her desk and opens a folder.
I appreciate you picking your own seats, but I make the seating arrangements, alphabetically.
I groan along with the rest of the class, but Mrs. Peterson doesn't miss a beat. She stands in front of the first lab table and says,
Colin Adams, take the first seat. Your partner is Darlene Bame.
Darlene Bame is co-captain of the varsity pom squad with me. She flashes me an apologetic look as she slides onto the stool next to my boyfriend. Down the list, Mrs. Peterson goes, students reluctantly moving to their assigned seats.
Brittany Ellis, Mrs. Peterson says, pointing to the table behind Colin.
I unenthusiastically sit on the stool at my assigned place.
Alejandro Fuentes,
Mrs. Peterson says, pointing to the stool next to me.
Oh, my God. Alex, my chemistry partner, for my entire senior year? No way, no how. So not okay. I give Colin a help-me look as I try to avoid a panic attack. I definitely should have stayed at home, in bed, under the covers. Forget not being intimidated.
Call me Alex.
Mrs. Peterson looks up from her class list and regards Alex above the glasses on her nose.
Alex Fuentes, she says, before changing his name on her list. Mr. Fuentes, take off that bandana. I have a zero-tolerance policy in my class. No gang-related accessories are allowed to enter this room. Unfortunately, Alex, your reputation precedes you. Dr. Aguirre backs my zero-tolerance policy 100%. Do I make myself clear?
Alex stares her down before sliding the bandana off his head, exposing raven hair that matches his eyes.
It's to cover up the lice,
Colin mutters to Darlene, but I hear him, and Alex does too.
Vete a la verga,
Alex says to Colin, his hard eyes blazing.
Cállate el hocico.
Whatever, dude,
Colin says, then turns around.
He can't even speak English.
That's enough, Colin. Alex, sit down. Mrs. Peterson eyes the rest of the class.
That goes for the rest of you as well. I can't control what you do outside of this room. But in my class, I'm the boss.
She turns back to Alex.
Do I make myself clear?
Sí, señora,
Alex says, deliberately slow.
Mrs. Peterson goes down the rest of the list while I do everything in my power not to make eye contact with the guy sitting next to me. It's too bad I left my purse in my locker, or I could pretend to look for nothing like Sierra did this morning.
This sucks,
Alex mumbles to himself. His voice is dark and husky. Does he make it that way on purpose? How am I going to explain to my mother I have to partner with Alex Fuentes? Oh, God, I hope she doesn't blame me somehow for screwing this up. I glance at my boyfriend, deep in conversation with Darlene. I'm so jealous. Why couldn't my last name be Alice instead of Ellis so I could sit next to him? It'd be cool if God gave everyone a do-over day, and you could yell, "Do over!" and the day would start new. This would definitely qualify for a DOD. Does Mrs. Peterson actually think it's reasonable to pair the captain of the pom-pom squad with the most dangerous guy in school? The woman is delusional. Mrs. Delusional finally finishes assigning seats. I know you seniors think you know everything, but never think of yourself as a success until you can help treat diseases that plague mankind or make the earth a safer place to live. The field of chemistry plays a crucial role in developing medicines, radiation treatments for cancer patients, petroleum uses, the ozone. Alex raises his hand.
Alex, the teacher says, do you have a question?
Mrs. Peterson, are you saying the President of the U.S. isn't a success?
What I'm saying is, money and status aren't everything. Use your brain and do something for mankind or the planet you live on. Then you're a success. And you'll have earned my respect, which not many people in this world can boast about.
I got things I can boast about, Mrs. P.,
Alex says, obviously amusing himself. Mrs. Peterson holds up a hand.
Please, spare us the details, Alex.
I shake my head.
If Alex thinks antagonizing the teacher will get us a good grade, he's sadly mistaken. It's obvious Mrs. Peterson doesn't like smartasses, and my partner is already on her radar.
Now, Mrs. Delusional says, look at the person sitting next to you.
Anything but that. But I don't have a choice. I glance over at Colin again, who seems pretty content with his assigned partner. Darlene already has a boyfriend, or I seriously would be questioning why she's leaning a bit too close to Colin and flipping her hair back too many times. I tell myself I'm being paranoid.
You don't have to like your partner, Mrs. Peterson says. But you're stuck together for the next 10 months. Take 5 minutes to get to know each other. Then each of you will introduce your partner to the class. Talk about what you did over the summer, what hobbies you have, or anything else interesting or unique your classmates might not know about you. Your 5 minutes start now.
I take out my notebook, flip to the first page, and shove it at Alex. Why don't you write down stuff about yourself in my notebook, and I'll do the same in yours.
It's better than trying to have a conversation with him.
Alex nods in agreement, although I think I caught the corners of his mouth twitch as he hands me his notebook. Did I imagine that twitch, or did it really happen? Taking a deep breath, I wipe that thought from my mind and write diligently until Mrs. Peterson instructs us to stop and listen to each other's introductions.
This is Darlene Bame,
Colin begins, being the first to speak.
But I don't hear the rest of Colin's speech about Darlene and her trip to Italy and her experience at dance camp this summer. Instead, I glance down at the notebook given back to me by Alex and stare at the words on the page with my mouth open.
Six. Alex. Okay, so I shouldn't have fucked with her on the introduction thing. Writing nothing except, Saturday night, you and me, driving lessons and hot sex in her notebook probably wasn't the smartest move. but I was itching to make little Miss Perfecta stumble in her introduction of me. And stumbling, she is. Miss Ellis? I watch in amusement as Perfection herself looks up at Peterson. Oh, she's good. This partner of mine knows how to hide her true emotions, something I recognize because I do it all the time.
Yes,
Brittany says, tilting her head and smiling like a beauty queen. I wonder if that smile has ever gotten her out of a speeding ticket. It's your turn. Introduce Alex to the class. I lean an elbow on the lap table, waiting for an introduction she has to either make up or fess up she knows less than crap about me. She glances at my comfortable position, and I can tell from her deer-in-the-headlights look I've stumped her.
This is Alejandro Fuentes?
She starts, her voice hitching the slightest bit. My temper flares at the mention of my given name, but I keep a cool facade as she continues with a made-up introduction.
When he wasn't hanging out on street corners and harassing innocent people this summer, he toured the inside of jails around the city, if you know what I mean, and he has a secret desire nobody would ever guess.
The room suddenly becomes quiet. Even Peterson straightens to attention. Hell, even I'm listening like the words coming out of Brittany's lying, pink-frosted lips are gospel.
His secret desire, she continues, is to go to college and become a chemistry teacher like you, Mrs. Peterson.
Yeah, right. I look over at my friend Issa, who seems amused that a white girl isn't afraid of giving me smack in front of the entire class. Brittany flashes me a triumphant smile, thinking she's won this round. Guess again, gringa. I sit up in my chair while the class remains silent. This is Brittany Ellis, I say, all eyes now focused on me. This summer she went to the mall, bought new clothes so she could expand her wardrobe, and spent her daddy's money on plastic surgery to enhance her assets. It might not be what she wrote, but it's probably close enough to the truth, unlike her introduction of me. Chuckles come from Miss Cuates in the back of the class, and Brittany is as stiff as a board beside me, as if my words hurt her precious ego. Brittany Ellis is used to people fawning all over her, and she could use a little wake-up call. I'm actually doing her a favor. Little does she know I'm not finished with her intro.
Her secret desire,
I add, getting the same reaction as she did during her introduction,
is to date a Mexicano before she graduates.
As expected, my words are met by comments and low whistles from the back of the room.
Way to go, Fuentes!
My friend Lucky barks out.
I'll date you, mamacita,
another says. I give a high five to another Latino blood named Marcus sitting behind me just as I catch Isa shaking her head, as if I did something wrong.
What?
I'm just having a little fun with a rich girl from the north side. Brittany's gaze shifts from Colin to me. I take one look at Colin and with my eyes tell him, game on. Colin's face instantly turns bright red, resembling a chili pepper. I have definitely invaded his territory.
Good. Quiet down, class,
Peterson says sternly.
Thank you for those very creative and enlightening introductions. Miss Ellis and Mr. Fuentes, please see me after class. Your introductions were not only appalling, they were disrespectful to me and the rest of your classmates,
Peterson says after class, as Brittany and I stand in front of her desk.
You have a choice.
Our teacher holds out two blue detention slips in one hand and two pieces of notebook paper in the other.
You can either serve detention today after school or write a 500-word essay on respect to hand in tomorrow. Which is it?
I reach over and grab the detention slip. Brittany reaches out for the notebook paper. Figures.
Do either of you have a problem with the way I assign chemistry partners?
Peterson asks. Brittany says yes, at the same time I say nope. Peterson sets her glasses on her desk.
Listen, you two better work out your differences before this year is up. Brittany, I won't be assigning you a different partner. You're both seniors and will have to deal with a plethora of people and personalities after you graduate. If you don't want to go to summer school for flunking my class, I suggest you work together instead of against each other. Now hurry to your next class.
With that, I follow my little chem partner out of the room and down the hall.
Stop following me, she snaps,
looking over her shoulder to check how many people are watching us walk down the hall together. As if I'm El Diablo himself.
Wear long sleeves on Saturday night,
I tell her, knowing full well she's reaching the end of her sanity rope. I usually don't try to get under the skin of white chicks, but this one is fun to rattle. This one, the most popular and coveted one of all, actually cares. It gets pretty cold on the back of my motorcycle.
Listen, Alex, she says, whipping herself around and tossing that sun-kissed hair over her shoulder.
She faces me with clear eyes made of ice.
I don't date guys in gangs, and I don't use drugs.
I don't date guys in gangs either, I say, stepping closer to her. And I'm no user.
Yeah, right. I'm surprised you're not in rehab or some juvie boot camp.
You think you know me?
I know enough.
She folds her arms across her chest, but then looks down as if she realizes her stance makes her chichis stand out, and drops her hands to her sides. I'm doing my best not to focus on those chichis as I take a step forward.
Did you report me to Aguirre?
She takes a step back.
What if I did?
Mujer, you're afraid of me. It's not a question. I just want to hear from her own lips what her reaction is.
Most people at this school are scared that if they look at you wrong, you'll gun them down.
Then my gun should be smoking by now, shouldn't it? Why aren't you running away from the badass Mexicano, huh?
Give me half a chance, I will.
I've had enough of dancing around this little bitch. It's time to fluff up those feathers to make sure I end up with the upper hand. I close the distance between us and whisper in her ear.
Face the facts. Your life is too perfect.
You probably lie awake at night fantasizing about spicing up all that lily whiteness you live in. But damn it. I get a whiff of vanilla from her perfume or lotion. It reminds me of cookies. I love cookies, so this is not good at all.
Getting near the fire, chica, doesn't necessarily mean you'll get burned.
You touch her and you'll regret it, Fuentes. Colin's voice rings out. He resembles a burro, with his big white teeth and ears sticking out from his buzz cut. Get the hell away from her.
Colin?
Brittany says, it's okay, I can handle this. Burro Face brought reinforcements. Three other pasty white dudes, standing behind him for backup. I size up Burro Face and his friends to see if I can take them all on, and decide I could give all four a run for their money. When you're strong enough to play in the big leagues, Jock Boy, then I'll listen to the mierda flying out of your mouth, I say. Other students are gathering around us, leaving room for a fight that is sure to be fast, furious, and bloody. Little do they know Burro Face is a runner. This time he's got backup, though, so maybe he'll stay to duke it out. I'm always prepared for a fight. Been in more of them than I can count on my fingers and toes. I've got the scars to prove it.
Colin, he's not worth it,
Brittany says. Thanks, mamacita. Right back at ya.
You threatening me, Fuentes?
Calling barks, ignoring his girlfriend.
No, asshole,
I say, staring him down. Little dicks like you make threats. Brittany parks her body in front of Colin and puts her hand on his chest.
Don't listen to him, she says. I'm not afraid of you. My dad's a lawyer.
Colin brags, then puts his arm around Brittany.
She's mine. Don't ever forget that.
Then keep a leash on her, I advise. Or she might be tempted to find a new owner. My friend Paco comes up beside me.
Andas bien, Alex?
Yeah, Paco, I tell him. Then watch as two teachers walk down the hall, escorted by a guy in a police uniform. This is what Adams wants. Perfectly planned to get my ass kicked out of school. I'm not falling into his trap, only to end up on Aguirre's hit list. Sí, everything's bien. I turn to Brittany.
Catch you later, mamacita. I'm looking forward to researching our chemistry.
Before I leave and save myself from suspension on top of my detention, Brittany sticks that perky nose of hers in the air as if I'm the scum of the earth.
Seven. Brittany. After school, I'm at my locker when my friends Morgan, Madison, and Megan come up to me. Sierra calls them the Fairfield M Factor. Morgan hugs me.
Oh my God, are you okay?
she asks, pulling away and examining me.
I heard Colin protected you. He's amazing. You're so lucky, Britt,
Madison says, her signature curls bouncing with each word.
It wasn't a big deal, I say, wondering what the rumor is in contrast to what really happened.
What exactly did Alex say? Megan asks. Caitlin took a picture on her cell of Alex and Colin in the hallway, but I couldn't make out what was going on.
You guys better not be late for practice, Darlene yells from the end of the hallway. Just as quickly as Darlene appeared, she's gone. Megan opens her locker, which is next to mine, and pulls out her palms.
I hate the way Darlene kisses Miss Small's butt, she says under her breath.
I close my locker and we walk toward the practice field. I think she's trying to focus on dance instead of obsessing about Tyler going back to college. Morgan rolls her eyes.
Whatever. I don't even have a boyfriend, so she gets zero sympathy from me.
No sympathy from my end either. Seriously, when is that girl not dating someone? Madison asks. When we reach the practice field, our entire squad is sitting on the grass waiting for Miss Small. Phew, we're not late.
I still can't believe you got stuck with Alex Fuentes, Darlene says quietly to me as I find an open spot beside her.
Want to switch partners? I ask, although Mrs. Peterson would never allow it. She made that crystal clear. Darlene sticks her tongue out in full gross-out mode and whispers,
No way! I never go slumming on the South Side. Mixing with that crowd will get you nothing but trouble. Remember last year when Alyssa McDaniel dated that one guy? What was his name?
Jason Avila? I say in a low voice. Darlene does a little shiver.
In a matter of weeks, Alyssa went from being cool to being an outcast. The Southside girls hated her for taking one of their guys, and she stopped hanging with us. The confused little couple was on an island all alone. Thank God Alyssa broke up with him.
Miss Small walks toward us with her CD player, complaining about someone moving it from her usual spot, and that's why she's late. When Miss Small tells us to stretch, Sierra nudges Darlene over so she can talk to me.
You are in big trouble, girl, Sierra says.
Why?
Sierra has super eyes and ears. She knows everything going on at Fairfield.
My best friend says,
Rumor has it Carmen Sanchez is looking for you.
Oh, no. Carmen is Alex's girlfriend. I'm trying not to freak out and think the worst, but Carmen is tough, from her red-painted fingernails all the way down to her black stiletto-heeled boots. Is she jealous I'm Alex's chem partner, or does she think I reported her boyfriend to the principal today?
The truth is, I didn't report him. I got called into Dr. Aguirre's office because someone who'd seen the parking incident and witnessed our confrontation on the steps this morning reported it, which was ridiculous because nothing happened. Aguirre didn't believe me. He thought I was too scared to tell him the truth. I wasn't scared then, but I am now. Carmen Sanchez can kick my butt any day of the week. She probably practices with weapons, and the only weapon I know how to use is, well, my pom-poms. Call me crazy, but somehow I doubt my palms will scare off a girl like Carmen. Maybe in a word war I would make a good showing, but definitely not in a fist fight. Guys fight because of some primal, innate gene that makes them prove themselves physically. Maybe Carmen wants to prove something to me, but there is seriously no need. I'm no threat. But how do I let her know that? It's not like I'm going to go up to her and say, Hey, Carmen, I'm not going to make a move on your boyfriend, and I never reported him to Dr. Aguirre. Or maybe I should. Most people think nothing bothers me. I'm not going to let them know something does. I've worked too long and hard to keep up this facade, and I'm not about to lose it all because some gang member and his girlfriend are testing me.
I'm not worrying about it, I tell Sierra. My best friend shakes her head.
I know you, Britt. You're stressing, she whispers.
Now that statement worries me more than the idea of Carmen looking for me, because I try really hard to keep everyone at a distance,
not really knowing what it's truly like to be me or what it's like to live at my house. But I've let Sierra know more about me than everyone else. I wonder if I should back off from our friendship sometimes, to make sure she's kept at arm's length